I call it a little text with a big truth. It's found in chapter 5 and verse number 7. Peter said this, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. It's only 11 words. Seems like such a small deal. But I assure you tonight, if you was to get a hold of it, you'd go home different than you came. I'm not only interested what is said, but I am interested too as to when it's said. I'm interested as to where God stuck it. You know, God doesn't stick things by mistake. You know, Peter wasn't just writing and come up with this idea and say, oh yeah, let's do that casting deal right here. I don't think that's the way it is. I notice that this text is stuck between three of our greatest enemies. Peter sandwiches it in between. One, in verses 5 and 6, the enemy of self. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, and all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due season. One of our greatest enemies is ourselves. One of the hardest things for self to do is to get down. Humble himself. Admit you're wrong. Say you're sorry. When is the last time those words come out? One of my greatest enemies is myself. Of course, if you're here tonight and think you're somewhat of a humble person, you say, preacher, I feel like I'm a pretty humble person. Hey, you feel like you are, there's a good chance you're not. Most people I've found that are, they don't think they are. There's the enemy of self. He is. And what are we to do with self? Well, Peter said, try this. Casting all your care upon the Lord, for He cares. Another enemy that he mentions in verse number 7 is the enemy of Satan. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan didn't sleep last night. He didn't take any lunch or supper or breakfast break today. He didn't take a smoke break. He didn't take any breaks today. What's he been doing today? He's been trying to figure out how he can devour you. You say, well, I'm saved. I'm eternal secure. He's not going to take me to hell. Oh, no, he can give you hell here, though. You know Max is hell here. Well, what am I to do if he attacks me? Well, Peter said about the only thing you can do is cast all your care upon him. How come? But he cares. Another enemy that he mentions is in verse number 10, the enemy of suffering. He said, but the God of all grace hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen you, set. Hey, I'm just no match for all this physical attack. I'm just no match. You keep hearing this one getting cancer, that one getting cancer, this one getting sick, this one's body falling apart. You know that's getting close to you. Sooner or later it's coming to you. It's coming to your house. It's coming to your family. What in the world am I going to do? Well, Peter said about the only thing you can do is just cast your care upon Him. I thought it was interesting too is to who this text is written to. It's written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. That's who Peter addresses his book to. You remember Jerusalem has fallen. Rome is in power. Nero is the emperor. One of his favorite things to do, he likes to take Christians and he likes to grease them down with pitch tar. He likes to set them on fire at night and take his carriage rides. He likes to light up his gardens. And one of his favorite things he likes to do, he likes to ride by and take a stick, run it up underneath their chin and watch their face, see what their facial expressions are while they're burning. Peter said to these burning Christians, he said, about the only thing you can do is cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I thought it was interesting, preacher, that this verse is especially written to you in its context. Verse number 1 says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Not only is he carrying all of his problems, if that's not enough, he's got to help you carry all your problems. That would be more than he can handle. I tell you what, you better pray for him. What should we pray for him? You better pray God will teach him how to do this, casting all your care upon the Lord, for He cares for you. Of course, you know, if I'm going to put a burden on somebody, if I'm going to put my load on somebody else, my first thought is, can they handle it? Can they handle it? Of course, I know you and I will say, oh yeah, he's able! He's able! I know he can handle the load. I was thinking about this text, and I don't know why. I know you're not supposed to question the Bible. But I just had it in my heart to start asking this text some questions to just see if he could handle my load. And I thought maybe tonight, maybe we'd just take a few moments before we go to the house and ask this text a few questions and see if he really can handle your load, handle my load. Could I ask this text this question? What are we to cast? What are we to cast? He says in verse number 7, and forgive me, I'm sorry. All my life I've quoted this verse wrong. And it's only been recent in my study that I've corrected myself. I don't know, you're probably much further along than me. You probably had this verse quoted right all your life. But I've quoted it all my life wrong. I've always quoted it, casting all your cares on. I've always put an S on cast. I didn't know if you noticed or not. There ain't one there. Just casting all your cares. Just singular. What are we to cast? He said, cast your care. In studying this little word, it is a generic term. It's a general term. It is a term that we can all get in on. I'm glad he didn't just say, casting all your back trouble. He didn't have no back trouble. He couldn't get in. But he uses a generic term, cast. And I thought it was interesting, the little word that he uses here, care, is anything that divides your focus from Him. Anything that divides your focus from Him. Anything that gives you a divided attention. That time that you ought to be focused on Him. You take that attention off of Him and focus it upon something else. What does He say about it? He says, stop it! He said, why don't you just cast that on me, that which is dividing your attention off of me? Of course, I didn't know if you noticed or not. I'd hate to be the first to tell you, God's a very jealous God. God doesn't like to share you with anything. I know we've been told that He wants first place in your life, but He don't. He ain't never wanted first place in your life. You think maybe you've got four places in your life. You've got a place for you, your job, your church, your family. You mean to tell me you're going to give Him first place and you take the other three? Oh, He'll be like a bull in a china shop. He'll make havoc of it until He's got all the places. The Apostle Paul said that he might have the preeminence. I tell you, where you got your family, kick him out. Put him in that place. place where you got your church, kick that out and put him in that place. Hey, that place where you got you, kick that out and put him in that place. That place where you got your job, kick that out and put him in that place. He wants all the places. When he has all the places, everything will go together. Of course, I don't know. You know, when you get in a jam and you things get a little tight, those things that's been dividing your focus and your attention off of him. Well, why don't you just call on me and see if I'll help you? Huh? Oh, hobby! Oh, worries! Oh, back pain! I tell you what, you'll find those things extremely silent that you've been giving all your attention to. And Peter here says, why don't you just cast on him? Cast them on him. So what are we to cast? He said, cast your care. Not S, singular. And could I ask this text another question tonight? Who are we to cast them upon? The text says here in verse 7, casting all your care upon him. Yes. Of course, we know who him is. You know, we're pre-millennial, pre-trib, King James only, fire-breathing Baptists. We know who him is. But in this text, Peter gives a name to him. He calls him in verse number 4. He says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear. This one that we are to cast our care upon. He says he is the chief shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. Of course, in him being the shepherd, that means that we're sheep. I don't know if you realize or not, but that's not a compliment. Him calling us sheep. They're dumb as dirt. Huh? You can take a dog to town, let him loose, he'll find his way back home. You can take a cat to Carrollton, he'll beat you back home. They tell me that a hog has that kind of ability. You can take a hog several miles from the house, he'll find his way back to the house. You can take a sheep out here to the end of the driveway, he won't ever find his way back to church. Huh? Oh, dumb as dirt. Him calling us sheep is not a compliment. Oh, no. Sheep need a shepherd. Of course, if I'm going to put my load upon the shepherd, my first thought is, can he handle it? Can he handle it? And I'm so sorry. This little truth just jumped out the page at me a few months ago, and Lord just helped the hound out of me. And just for a second, let me show you his ability to carry us and our problems. If you've got the text there, hold it here in Peter and look over to the Christmas text of Isaiah, chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter number 9. I know you've probably seen this, but forgive me, I just never had seen it until a few months ago, and I like to have myself a spell. Thinking about him carrying my load. What kind of ability does he have to carry my load? We're talking about who are we to cast him upon. Those things that take our focus off of him. And we have to take time to deal with this situation and deal with that situation. And when we should be giving that attention to him and we've got divided attention, we're not giving him the time that he wants. In Isaiah chapter number 9, and verse number 6, he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his. Somebody help me here. This is a big old word. Well, what is that word right there? Shoulder. Could somebody tell me, is that singular or plural there? Huh? Singular. Just one shoulder. Right? He says he's got the government of the whole entire world on just one shoulder. Hey,
He's got the United States government on one shoulder. He's got China on one shoulder. He's got Saddam on one shoulder. He's got Bin Laden on one shoulder. He's got Korea on one shoulder. He's got Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, Turkey, Syria. He's got a red China, all of them on one shoulder. You know, I got to thinking, I was wondering maybe if one of them was to irritate him. No, it wouldn't take much for him to take care of. I was wondering maybe he'd just do this. Watch. It wouldn't take much. And you know, if he didn't feel like just being a little antsy, he could just reach up here and do one of these numbers, you know. Huh? Just flick them one time. That's it. Huh? He's carrying the whole government of the world on one shoulder. One shoulder. Now here's what I have never seen before. You got the Bible there? Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15. We're talking about who are we to cast them upon? Can he handle the load? Luke 15, verse number 3. And he spake this parable of them saying, Luke 15, 4. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his... There's that big old word again. Can you help me with it again? Tell me what that word is. Is it in the singular or in the plural now? Whoa! Shoulders up! He carried the whole government on one shoulder, but if he's going to carry you and I, he offers us both shoulders. Whoa! Lord God, if he can carry all the government of the world on one shoulder, pray, tell him, why in the world would you want to leave here with a burden on you tonight, trying to code it, trying to work it out, trying to manipulate it, trying to think it, trying to reason it? He's offering you his shoulders. Of course, you know us being sheep. We being antsy like we are, always figuring. If he's got you on his shoulders, you know you're going to be wormy. Huh? So not only is he going to give you his shoulders, he's going to give you both his hands to steady you with too. Whoa, you're getting a deal. Huh? Oh, why would we want to leave here tonight trying to carry our own trouble, our own problem? Who are we to cast them upon? He said, cast them upon the chief shepherd. He's offering us both of his shoulders to steady them. Oh, tonight, what are we to cast? Cast our care. Who are we to cast them upon? Cast them upon him. Could I look at that 1 Peter 5 again, verse number 7? Could I ask you another question? How about this question? Why are we to cast them upon him? Why in the world would I want to take my burden and place it upon him? Oh, this helped me so much. Verse number 7, casting all your care upon him. Here's the reason. For he careth for you. What's that little word, character? That's an interesting word. You remember what the word care was? Cast all your care. It is that which divides the attention off from. The little word literally means a divided attention, a divided focus. Hey, do you know what this word care is? He said, this is the reason why you ought to put your load on me. He said, for he careth for you. The little word careth, but you notice it's got an ETH on it. It is the opposite word of the word care. You remember what the word care was? A divided focus. The little word care, it means an undivided focus. He said, the reason why you want to cast your care on me, he said, you've got my undivided attention. I didn't know if you noted it. I didn't know if anybody had told you or not. But he says, he's looking at you. Nobody else. He's done convinced me I'm the only one he's looking at. Some of you, he done convinced you of that too.
He told me, I don't know if he told you this or not. He just told it to me like I was the only one he's ever told it to. He told me I was the apple of his eye. Whoa! Yeah! You know that little eye, I told y'all that boy, that little eyeball in there, it's a reflection in there. You lean somebody back, look in their eyeball, that little round part, it's a mirror. He said, I got you. He said, I don't never take my eyes off you. He said, you're the only one I'm looking at. Whoa! He says, I'm looking at you when you don't even need me to look at you. Oh my! He said, I even watch you when you sleeping. He said, you've got my undivided. Hey, you ever heard anybody say, I got something on my chest I want to get off? Hey, he's got me on his chest. He don't want to get me off. Hey, you ever heard somebody say, I got something on my heart I want to get off? Hey, he's got me on his heart and he don't want to get me off. He said, I even watch you while you sleeping. I heard some fella say not long ago, he said he's having problems sleeping. And he says he wakes up in the middle of the night. And he says he's tried counting sheep. And he says he's been trying to take a little medicine so he can go back to sleep. Hey, I tell you what, if you're having problems sleeping, quit counting sheep! And for God's sake, don't take nothing! If you're having problems sleeping, the Bible says he giveth his beloved sleep. If you ain't having none, it's cause he took it away. You know what he's been doing? He's been watching you snore. He got tired of hearing you snore and he woke you up. What's he want? He wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to him. For goodness sake, don't try to go back to sleep. He's woke you up. Show us a fellowship. I want you to cast the care on him. Oh, he said, you got my undivided attention. Oh, what other reason would you want for casting your care upon him? He's looking our way tonight. I was reminded, I don't know, I've probably told you this before. If I have, I'm sorry. I was thinking about that old gal. They had put her in the poorhouse. And the preacher would go to see her from time to time. And when he'd go to see her, he would go to encourage her. It was in those days when they had nursing home, they put them in poorhouse. But every time he'd go, she'd encourage him. One day he went to see her, and she was down there in the kitchen area. They had a big glass window down there, and she's in a wheelchair looking out the kitchen window. She's just looking out the window. And when he got there, she said, Preacher, she said, I wrote a little poem this morning. And she said, I want to give it to you. I don't know if you've ever heard this little old poem or not. The little old preacher, it's been years ago, the little old preacher took the poem and put it to some music, you know, and they made a little song out of it. I don't know if you've ever heard it before. It went like this. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is upon the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Oh, the old girl wasn't happy because of her condition. She was in a poorhouse. She wasn't singing because she was free. She was locked up in a poorhouse. She hadn't got excited because God was looking at sparrows. No, she got excited because God was looking at her. And she had rolled all of her burdens upon him. Oh, what are we to cast? Cast for care. Who are we to cast them upon? Cast them upon the good shepherd. Why are we to cast them? Because he cared for us. Could I mention this last little thought? We're done. If you've not heard a thing else, and could I say this before I share this little thought with you? In this little verse right here, this is a little element that I'd missed all my life. All my life. I have cast my cares upon the Lord before. I have given him my burdens. But I had failed to do this last little thought. And I've missed help time and time and time again. Watch it. Watch this little old thought. How are we to cast them? How are we to cast them? Look at verse number 7. Cast them.
all your care upon Him. The little word cast. C-A-S-T. How are we to cast? I thought it was interesting. The little word that Peter uses for cast, C-A-S-T, it's a fishing term. Isn't that amazing that he would use a fishing term for cast? Because he is a fisherman. See, when the good Holy Ghost was inspiring them to write, the only thing the good Holy Ghost could work with was what was already in their head. And so when he was to write cast, see, when Luke wrote the word cast over in Luke's gospel, he used the medical term. But Peter, he uses a fishing term. He uses a word for a cast net. Cast net. That which is used for getting bait, a small cast net. But watch this now. This is where I've missed it. I've been to altars before. I have cast my burdens upon the Lord before. But oh, here's where I've missed the hound out of, and I failed to get any help. The little word cast here, in the English, one syllable, cast. But in the original language, two syllables. Two syllables. Two syllables. Two words. Number one word, throw it. Throw it. Throw it. Peter said, take your burdens and throw it upon the Lord. Here's where I've missed it. I've missed it. I've missed it. I missed it. Second syllable to the word cast. Throw it! Let it go. That's where I've missed it. Oh, I've throwed it on him a middle list many and a many a time. But I failed to let it go. Let it go. Now, I am a little familiar with a cast net. Not personally. I have a preacher friend down in Florida, and I go be with him twice a year. He fishes every day. He never fails. If it's not raining, it's not storming, he fishes every day. It's just his life. He loves it. Great man of God, great preacher. That's where he does all his meditation, but he loves to fish. But he will not buy no bait. No. You're not going to get him to buy bait. He catches the bait every morning. Right in the middle of 7 or 8 alligators. We'll be out there, and he'll be getting mullet bait. And he uses a cast net. Now, if you're familiar with a cast net, first of all, it's got a long rope on it, and you put the stick of the cast rope between your teeth. When you see the mullet, you've got to be awful coordinated because you've got to let the rope go. You've got to open your mouth so that the end of the cast rope goes, and then you catch the end of the rope as it goes by. He's wonderful at it. But I am thrilled to death to watch him sometimes when he blows it. He either forgets to open his mouth or he forgets to catch it. And we catch him in the cast rope. And he's all tangled up in this cast net. He's got it all over the top of his head. He's got it all wrapped around. And he's trying to get that cast net off of him. I've laughed and laughed and laughed. You know what? I wonder if the Lord hadn't sort of chuckled at you and I sometimes. And we've come to an altar and we've thrown it upon him. Didn't let it go. And when we get up, we got it all wrapped around us. And we're trying to get out the building. Throw it! Let it go. You don't let it go, you're not going to get any help. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, the old songwriter said, if this world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, the old songwriter says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Hey, preacher, how can I know I've gone through it? Well, I've let it go. Listen to how the songwriter ends his little song. He said, if you trust
and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Hey, you and I are no match for self. You and I are no match for Satan. You and I are no match for suffering tonight. You better take those burdens. I thought about, but I won't do it. I thought about maybe us standing up and practicing tonight. See how good you are throwing and letting it go. Well, tonight, you can come to this altar all you want to. You can throw it on the Lord. You can boo-hoo and cry. But I tell you what, if you don't let it go, you're not going to get no help. No help. No help.